that. Okay, we are in Revelation chapter 12, and we're actually in the last verse there. And then we're going to move to chapter 13. But let's see. But we'll start at 12, verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And we were talking about that just before this is several references to what happened in Egypt as Israel was coming out of that. And that these also could be a reference to the Red Sea and crossing over, and that the earth swallowed up, as it were, the waters and was able to pass over. But we're really shooting for verse 17. And the dragon was angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, who keepeth the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. And so this attack is, we've read before, and so you know from the last sharing that the enemy defeated and destroyed and killed those who were of the Lord. And he came down because he was angry, because he was cast out of heaven. And the scriptures clearly say that they overcame by really big swords and bazookas and tanks. No, that's not right. Let's see. They overcame by the blood of the innocent lamb, by the word of their martyrdom, which is the actual, you know, when the scripture says in, what is it, Acts 1:8, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and you should be witnesses of me. The word witness there is the word martyr. It's not a witness like we have in the church today. It is those who are manifesting the nature and the spirit of the slaughtered lamb on the throne. And so here there is a progression, and that begins to happen, and then it shows the dragon personally going after the woman, and there is a protection that happens. And then verse 17, the dragon was angry with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, because he couldn't get to her anymore. And so he goes to make war with the remnant of her seed. And the word seed there is an interesting word. It's the word sperma. And it means it is that which is out from him that produces his DNA, his nature, his spirit. That reality is that he's trying to stamp out anything that has his DNA, that has his spirit, that has his nature, that has his way, because he can't defeat that. Even if he kills it, he only makes it stronger. And so it's an interesting word there. And that same word, keep your place here, but that same word is used over in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 24. And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. That word is actually the same word. It's the word sperma. Now that's interesting, because this parable doesn't use that particular word all the way through chapter 13. but it uses it with purpose, because the good seed, folks, is really not us. It's him put in us, and it's his desire that seed grow within us, and that we be carriers of that seed, that we be conformed to that image, that we be not just taught biology, but there be a union that produces that which is Him, which we call being after His kind because it's Him in us, which is a picture of Mary. You know, God didn't say, act Christ-like to the Virgin Mary. He didn't say, you know, be a good Christian. You're one of the first. You know, whatever you do counts. He said, you want you got inside of you, that holy thing that's in you, you call that Jesus. And that's important. That's important. And you don't hear that a lot in Christianity. I mean, I'm amazed at how many references they make to, you know, being a strong Christian or something other than Christ, something other than life, something other than Him in us. It's all about us. It's all about us gaining attributes when the fruit of the Spirit are fruit of the Spirit. They're not fruit of us. But it's all about gaining stuff, and it's all about gain, and it's all about getting better, and it's all about, instead of He must increase and I must decrease. So, back to Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. he's making war. It's kind of a, I don't know, you know, y'all know I'm weird. I've also decided that there's another word that fits me. I'm colorful. I'm colorful. But it's just, things strike me funny. The dragon is making war. I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. The dragon is making war with sperm. It's like, this is dangerous. This is going to produce something that is not good to His kingdom. And He's scared of something like that. It's just ridiculous. All right, I'll move along now that you're all red. The attack of the enemy is now upon her and other followers. In this chapter, the word seed is actually sperma. As the firstborn son, meaning the original seed, Jesus is the seed, the sperma, the image that they all will take. And we all have to take that same image. Notice the enemy's reaction. He's wroth with her and with them. The Lord warned us that if they hated Him, they will hate us. Okay, so what does that mean? See, we can translate that any way we want to until we understand the cross. Jesus said before the cross, if they hated you, they're going to hate me. So the way we translate that is, well, if I become a Christian and they hate Jesus, they're going to hate me. But when you see the cross, you see that you're crucified with Christ, and you see that Christ in you is the hope of glory. And then you begin to realize that if they hate Him, they're going to hate Him in us, the seed. Okay? And these are they who keep the teachings of God, the words of God, and the testimony, which is the spirit of martyrdom as a lifestyle. It's a spirit of self-giving, spirit of self-giving. But more specifically, it's His Spirit. It is the Spirit of the Lamb. It's not just living sacrificially. It's not that at all. It's about Him living in us, and He'll live the way that He always is. Okay, so remember in the book, there's a difference between attacks on us by the enemy, that's one, God's use of trials to conform us to Christ, that's two, to His image, and God's judgment falling on all else. There's that which is beast that will not turn, and it's just judgment. It's just flat out judgment. There's that which can be turned possibly. And he's always working for them. What's it say in Peter, isn't it, that he desires that none perish, but all come to the knowledge of the truth. That's not his heart. So anytime he puts you through things, he's trying to bring out more of Christ. You know, the example of that is the vine and the branches. I mean, you know, the husbandman comes and he chops off vines and he chops off branches. And he's not trying to destroy you. He's trying to do, it says he does that so that you'll bring forth more fruit. And that fruit is the manifestation of Christ. It's not us being really goody good Christians that know how to live and to do everything just perfect, you know, according to religion. It is the formation of the only thing that's eternal and that's important to God. And that's going to be Christ, and it's always going to be Christ. And it's always going... See, the Father's heart is never going to change on this subject. It's never going to change. This is what he wanted in the beginning. And when he said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness, the only way to truly do that is by putting his own seed within us and letting that seed grow, like the woman there. And so... That's the case he's trying to conform us. But for those who have been sealed, remember chapter 7, sealed with the seal of the living God. That's not one of the seven seals of judgment. For those who have been sealed, they are actually embarking on a journey of being with him. This is where the real thing starts happening, where we begin to change over from church to bride, where we are brought more into that image and manifestation, meaning it's more real. If it manifests, it's real. See, if it's not going to ever manifest, it could be us just putting on, you know, what I call Christmas tree righteousness. It looks shiny and sparkly, but it's not fruit. It's not true fruit. It's just something we're tacking on it. All right. So now let's go to chapter 13, Revelation 13. And let's read. Let's see. We'll just read and I'll figure out where we're going to stop. Revelation 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as though it were wounded to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And this little part of this phrase in this last part of this sentence is so powerful. And all the world wondered after the beast. All right, so we're going to get into that, but that's an important point. And they worshiped the dragon who gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast. They worshiped the dragon because the power is actually from him. And they will also worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And so, if you'll notice, that's not just some sort of a statement. It's not like they're sitting around going, oh, wow, the beast is really strong. Who can make war with that? Notice the wording. It's important always to taste, to eat the word, not just to read the word. You know, the scriptures many times, they ate the word, even in the book of Revelation. And when we just read it, we miss so much. But if you take the time and you savor it, and you're trying to get it in you, but it starts in your mouth, and you're savoring, you're trying to get every taste that it has out of it. It says, and they worship the beast, saying... This isn't just a statement they're making. This is an act of worship. Wow. That's significant. And we'll look at that a little closer. Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in the heaven. And again, here we have the word tabernacle, because we are the tabernacle of God. We are the dwelling place of God. Notice that it was given unto him to do this. Okay, now what does that mean? What does it mean that he continued that amount of time and it was given unto him? What does that mean? Kelly?
God has a higher purpose than delivering us from all evil circumstances.
God has a higher purpose than delivering us from our circumstance. It also just blatantly says God's actually in control of all this stuff. We think for this amount of time, things got out of control. And it was bad. And oh my God. And here I go again. But it's not, that's not, you know, that's not the case. And think about this. There's so many angles of these things. That's why, again, to taste and see that the Lord is good, not just read and get one angle and say that's it. But here it is that God is allowing this, or this is happening, and God is not fighting it. He allowed it. He is not trying to resist it, or he's not upset going, oh no, the devil's blaspheming me. The great red dragon said something bad about me. Now, how many of us get upset when somebody says something bad about you and react? Well, they said what? You know? I can't believe that. Well, could you ever believe that maybe God allowed them to say that? Because he's trying to make a son of God out of you. He's trying to form the Lamb in you. Could you believe that? But guess what? You can believe that when we talk right now, but it never comes up when somebody says that about you. So what's the point? You know, what's the point? We have to make a transition to God's view and way and understand. This is why people are confused by the book of Revelation, because it blatantly says stuff like this, you know? I mean, it is. And they go, what is this? I don't understand this. I don't even read the book of Revelation because, you know, when I first got saved, actually, it was before I got saved. There was two guys arguing where I worked at Avis Rent-A-Car. In Love Field, and they were arguing over the word and over believing and stuff. One was a believer and one wasn't. And one said to me, "What do you think about the Word of God?" And I said, "It contradicts itself." And then I realized I'd never read it, so how would I know that? I just heard somebody else do it. So I determined I was going to go home and read it. And I mentioned that to one of my friends, and he said, "Well, don't read the Book of Revelation." Whatever you do, don't go there, you know. and I read it. Yeah. I'm rebellious on every front. I need Jesus, I admit it. But I saw, even at that point, I saw that this had to be Jesus. That's just what I saw. Not just the book of Revelation, but this somehow has to be Jesus. It's not just religion. Now, I didn't understand that, and I certainly didn't see the vastness of that. But even then, I got saved when I shut the book. I had the Lord. That's the only way I can say it. And never looked back. There has to come an awareness in us that what we have allowed to be formulated in us concerning religion may not really be the right answer. And I'm not putting that down. I'm saying that will be moved aside for a heart that says, I'm open unto you. It doesn't mean you're open unto me and my teaching or my books or anybody else here. It's not talking about, I'm not talking about that. I'm not trying to get an openness to my you know, whatever. I just know that to make some of these leaps, just the statement right there is so contrary to Christian thinking that God allowed that. And not only God allowed it, but this is not just against us. You know, well, I'm testing you guys, you know, or I'm trying to get your attention, or I'm conforming you to the image of Christ. The great red dragon is blaspheming God. And he's not up there going, "Well, this is horrible." Can you see him turn to Jesus and say, "Did you hear what he said about me? You know? I mean, that's not right. In fact, that's blasphemy." And Jesus would have turned back and said, "Don't you think allowing him to speak would result in this?" See, this conversation never happened, did it? But that's us, you know. God allowed this. God's not worried about what he says. I've seen people ready to defend God. "Well, you shouldn't say that about God." Da, 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 da. And I saw him in the mirror one day, a long time ago when I first got saved, because I was defending God left and right. Like he really, you know, I need to stand up for God. "Don't worry, big fella. You know, I'll stand up for you," as if that's, you know. And if he can't stand up for himself, you know, or is he even worried about it? You know, is he freaking out like we do? You know, "Well, you shouldn't say those things about God," or you shouldn't be believing that. That's, you know, and if it's believing something against God that you know is against him, he's still able to deal with them and may be dealing with them right then and there. Sovereignty of God, do we believe in it? You know, maybe you need to become a Calvinist for a couple of years and then come back. All right. Where were we? Verse 7, "And it was given unto him to make war with the saints." Oh, my God. It was given unto him to make war. Who gave it to him? God gave him the ability to make war with the saints. But it wasn't just war, and then he wanted to prove how strong we were so we could defeat anything the devil said. No, look at this. And to overcome them, he gave the dragon ability to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given to him over all kindred, tongues, and nations, and all they that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, the book of the life of the Lamb slain, whose names are not written in the book of the slain Lamb. I mean, you know, it's pretty powerful. We tend to go, I hope my name is written in the book of life, right? We usually think in terms of the book of life. But this says that anybody whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain. So, what does that mean? You figure it out. It's your name. I'm working on mine. Not really. I'm just messing. I'm ridiculous. Okay. From the foundation of the world. The Lamb, life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Life of the Lamb slain. Slain from the foundation of the world. What does that mean? That means that a slain lamb was in preparation before the world was formed. It's eternal. It's one of the few eternal things that was before, and then here we're in the book of Revelation, and is after, and then everything else is kind of disappearing. And everything related to that one who said, maybe said the words, maybe literally said the words, Let us make man in our image. What if that was a slain lamb from before the foundation of the world that said that? And we go, I won't be like God. Well, that's where Satan got deceived, and because he's just trying to be like God, not the slain lamb. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name. So all that dwell, in other words, this is one of the verses that proves that there's no slipping out of this. There's no little group over here of the underground Christians. That is, it's all that dwell upon the earth will worship him or will be slain by him. Okay. But those who will be slain will already have had their life, their name written there. They already will have been sealed by this point with this reality of why the seals were open and what you're going to do during this time. And you're going to enter into the greatest glory that you can, the greatest glory of God that you can on the earth. On the earth. And this is it. This is your chance. There's not going to be a lot of demons running around killing people in heaven. I'm guessing, it's like, here's your mansion. It's full of demons, but you know. I don't know. I may need to quit. Oh, gosh. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. That's the next verse after the Lamb. Yeah. And then he says, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. Who's leading into captivity in this situation? The dragon and the beast. Okay? And they will go in. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Okay? So what is their future? Their role right now in the earth is to rule over people and to make people worship them and to get and to gain power and to grow in greatness in front of the whole world. And to do that, they're killing lambs, thinking that that's their real enemy. They're killing lambs. And you look at the kingdom and the beasts ruling over it, and there's beast followers everywhere, and sprinkled within them are these little lambs. And Jesus says to you, they need special food. Feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. They need to be sealed with this seal of the living God. And of his way and of his spirit and his name. Don't just make Christians out of them. Feed my lambs so that they get all this inside of them. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That he that killeth with the sword shall be. This is going to be their end. We don't have to go, well, I need to fight them now. I need to kill them. See? You see that? Make me strong, Jesus, so I can kill these things that are against you. No. He says, here's your faith and patience right here. If they're killing with the sword, they're going to die by the sword. Don't worry. You be with me and lay down your life. Verse 11. Now we get another beast coming up. In verse 11. Oh boy. Another beast. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. The other one came up out of the sea. And he had two horns like a lamb. I'm sure he's so cute. You know, he's like little lamb horns. You know, I'm here to help. Don't I look like a lamb? And we'd say, yes, you know, really, you do look like a lamb. Let's read on.
That's right.
Two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon.
Right.
All right, there's your dead giveaway, all right? You know, and Jesus said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. You know, it's not the outward appearance. And you know, there are people, would you believe the statement I'm going to make? There are people that look really humble and they're really full of pride. Would you believe that that could be the case? Don't be looking at me like that. But it is true. That's just an outward thing, or can be an outward thing. It's not necessarily an outward thing. But our goal is not to become humble. Our goal is to conform to the image of the Lamb. Then humility will be seen, but he'll get the glory. You know. See, because if you're trying to get the glory over being humble, something's wrong. It's just another thought. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And that keeps repeating that, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles. He's deceiving by means of miracles. Be honest. How many of you believe in miracles? Raise your hand. Okay. You're deceived? No. Not really. I really need to cut this short. Ridiculous. But I mean, you know, you could be deceived by miracles. If something showed up that looked like a lamb, right? And you could go, oh, it's the Lamb of God. No, it's the Lamb of Dragon. The Lamb of Dragon hath deceived you. By means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast that had the wound by a sword and did live. And he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast. Okay, so aren't we seeking to be conformed to the image of Christ? Yes. Okay. And what does that mean to us? It means that we want the real thing. We don't want a religious image of it. We want a living image. And he had power to give life to the image. But it wasn't the image of the Lamb. It wasn't the image of the Lamb. See, it's all a counterfeit. You know, dragon, beast, false prophet, 3-in-1, miracles, power, da-da-da-da. It's all a counterfeit of God. And people fall for counterfeits. Where was it? And verse 15, and he hath power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. As many as. Okay, there's another example, scripture, that there is not some underground group that's slipping through the military set up by the beast that's trying to make everybody do this, which basically just voided out every movie on Book of Revelation. Left Behind. No, Left Dead. And he causeth all both small. That's an interesting word there, causeth. See the ETH? That means he is continually causing them. Continually causing all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and enslaved, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. In other words, he's continually causing this. He is not just putting a mark there. He is continually causing this. Or in their right hand or in their forehead. And that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. So I'm not going to address that because I know most of y'all have understanding and have counted that. So, and I was told not to open that to you. Not really. Okay, so back to verses 1 and 2. And I stood and I saw this beast, and he rose up out of the water. So let me read a little bit here. This chapter introduces two beasts, one from the earth and one from the sea. Their purpose seems to be self-exaltation and control over the masses. Look at it. Everything we read, isn't it really sort of wrapped up in self-exaltation and control over the masses? Control, not giving up control and trusting God even in the death, but gaining it. Why all the fire, destruction, and torment in the book of Revelation? Not only will the Lamb be revealed in us through it, but it pertains to the beasts also. I have a reference that I wrote here, so if you don't mind, I'll just read the reference so you don't have to keep your place there. But it'll be out of Acts 28. Except my Bible's not turning there very fast. Acts 28 and verse 3 through 6, and it says this. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there was fire, right? There was fire. Laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat. See, we're trying to get the Lamb manifest, but he's also trying to manifest the beast, the beasts, to be seen for what they are. Okay? And fastened on his hand, which is what the beasts were doing, trying to have control, trying to da 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 da. And when the barbarians saw. Saw the venomous beast. What? So what'd they see? The snake? No, the venomous beast hang on his hand. They said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Which, you know, he certainly preached the cross. He put people to death, but he wasn't a murderer. When, though he had escaped the sea, yet justice alloweth him not to live. So they're saying this is judgment upon the Lamb, as it were, because that's Paul's life. This is judgment upon the Lamb, but it's not judgment upon the Lamb. This, he will pass through this, and in truth you pass through this through death with Christ on the cross, not just dying in some apocalyptic scenario at the end of time. You are crucified with Christ. That's the death that counts. That's the only one that counts. And if that death is worked in you, then out of that death where he has brought you into that with himself, out of that comes his nature in you. And that's his purpose. But that's not the only purpose for the fire. And so So they said, you know, because he did something really bad, that's why this has happened to him. Or in the book of Revelation, now picture the multitude, those who are still making up their mind to follow the beast. They're watching the scenario and they're seeing this strength and they're seeing this power and they're seeing this snake, as it were, this venomous beast, you know, on them and ready to kill them, sent of God, and they're saying the lambs are the one that are evil, and the beasts are the ones that are good. Verse 5, and he shook off the beast. He shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Folks, come on. Book of Revelation, shake off the beast. Come on. Seriously. You know? I got to shake this thing off instead of allowing it to make a nest in you. However, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while, apparently they just sat there staring. Don't move, Paul. We just want to see this. And saw no harm come to him. They changed their minds and said that he was a god. Okay. They're not going to get this right. Okay. You have to get it right. You have to be right in your thinking and in your way and in your heart. Because if God brings you through the fire and through the beast, you're not a god. You have the Lamb in you and all glory. That's why he's on the throne and you're supposed to be out there going, yeah. You know, it's not, but is there not the tendency? Could there not be a tendency to go, well, you know, yeah, this was, maybe I should have died. And then starting the snake fire ministry, you know, Randy's snake fire ministry. Yeah, I went through this. And, you know, and everywhere you go, you say, yeah, you know. They changed their minds and said he was a god. All right, back to Revelation 13. Just as when Paul made a fire and a serpent appeared to attack him, so the heat of the fire will cause them to reveal themselves also. Do y'all agree with that?
Yes.
The heat of the fire in the book of Revelation is going to cause them to show themselves too. What they are will be seen by their reactions, their pride, attitudes, and ways of dealing with adversity. Okay? So, guess what? You might be in a, some would call an apocalyptic situation. Or let's put it this way. You might be in the fire. And you may not be a lamb. It may not prove you to be a lamb. It may prove you to be a beast. It may prove that your reactions will prove your reactions of pride and attitudes and ways of dealing with adversity may prove you to yet be a beast. Everybody starts out as a beast. We're all fallen creatures. We all need Jesus. We not only need the Lamb of God to die for us so we don't go to hell and face more fire. See how our thinking is? I don't want to go to hell and face more fire. Well, then pass through this fire by his nature. Be with him now in this fire, and you'll be okay over there. But if you don't want him, what is that? You know, the Lord told me something just a few days ago. The Holy Spirit said to me, he said, Jesus will always give. He will always pour out. He will always do that and never ask anything in return. He said, that's the way Jesus is. He'll always be that way. He said, but it's not going to really, really, not ultimately, really do anything for you if you can't turn around and give back to him or to others. Because you're just a taker. You're just a taker. And everything that he gives and pours out will just be turned to salt. It'll be turned to nothing that has value anymore. But when we're like one of the 10 lepers that turned around and came back, and we come and we're clean now. I mean, can you imagine not having been able to hug anybody maybe your whole life, and you could come back to Jesus and throw your arms around him and say thank you, you know, and finally have somebody know, go, get away, you know, you're a beast. And Jesus see it as one of the most beautiful things, because it wasn't just that he got. It was that he came back and he gave thanks, be it ever so small in our minds, huge to Jesus. Where are the nine? Were there not 10 of you? You know, and to come back and just to, you know, and you know, sometimes that pours out to others, but that picture there, he returns to Jesus. And there's just this embrace of heart and giving back to Jesus. I don't know. So verse 13 says, and I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. So reading here, the great red dragon, the beast out of the sea and the beast out of the earth will come forth breathing fire, because it says that he can cause fire to come out, and smoke and floods and all this stuff. Floods came out of the mouth of the dragon. And just like when God cast the devil out of his presence, so he will eventually denounce all the beasts because they prove themselves to be nothing like the Lamb of God that was slain for others. And their end is coming. Their end is coming. All right. Now, can we see that and look at that and we say, that's a righteous judgment. That's a righteous decision, Lord. The dragon needs to be judged. The beast, you know, out of the sea needs to be judged. The beast out of the earth needs to be judged. But my God, folks, the true judgment has to start right here. Is that not right or wrong? There are beasts within us that are just like that. In what way are they just like that? They self-exalt. They're trying to get power in certain ways and upset if they don't or whatever. And all of this stuff, and it's all beastly thoughts and reactions and feelings and all this kind of stuff. And we don't need to be getting in the middle of the book of Revelation dealing with beasts. We need to be there with his nature as lambs, you know? And the way to do that is be in your own book of Revelation right now. Be in your own one right now and get after it and see the thing. I mean, this is a, you know, isn't this a great class? Is this a great class? Well, is that all it's going to be? I mean, imagine. Okay, let's try this one. I remember when I first got saved, and the Lord said, you know, because I was brand new, and he said, you need to have an urgency to save people. And he showed me a picture of a big open thing where the earth was just in a big circle open down there, and fire, and hell's fire was coming up, you know, and the devil was pulling people over and trying to throw them in there. And he said, go over there and reach them. Go reach them. Urgency. There was an urgency. Then I see a picture here in the book of Revelation where, what if all of a sudden tomorrow or next week we're thrown into that scenario? It was the apocalypse, even if it was our own, but it's the apocalypse. Let's just say it's the one we call the real one. And we're thrown into that tomorrow. Would there be an urgency to be before the Lamb worshiping him and seeing him and exalting all the self-giving that he did, so that we say eventually, we need to manifest this. Open the seals. I'm sad because they're not open. I need this. Or we're going, I don't know. You know, we're running around like those movies, trying to figure out how to do something and get it. Well, can't we have our own book of Revelation, each one of us, right now? And can't the beasts that come up in us be something that we say, I will not worship that beast. I will not worship it. I do not want that in me. Shake it off. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know? Either that or we're just going to be like everybody else, but we'll call ourselves goody-goods or Christians or whatever. I don't want to be satisfied in my mind. I don't want to be satisfied in my mind. I want His satisfaction, and to do that, I'm going to have to lose my mind. Some of you have already done that. Thank you, Jesus. But you do. You have to lose your own way of thinking. And you have to lose, you know, your thought that your beasts are actually Christian. You know? Well, my beasts are Christian. And they're not only Christian, they're tame. They're tame until you get into certain circumstances. Somebody does something, then, you know. And then you say, calm down. And they go, shut up. You know. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You know. It's, you know, this is serious. There has to be that sense of urgency. Urgency for the Lord. Urgency to depose that beast that comes in and sits on the throne as God and appears. You know what it says in Thessalonians. All right, let me just make sure here. Maybe I can take a break. Okay, that sounds like a good stopping place. All right, let's take a break.